Good morning, my friends. This is missionary James Robinette. I'm with Mission East Africa, Uganda. And by the gracious will of the Lord Jesus, it is my joy to look to His Scripture, the Word of God, with you once again this Lord's Day morning. Today we're continuing in Ephesians chapter 6 in verse 4, and we're looking at God's instruction about how children are to be raised up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Praise God. Child training, raising up children, is our topic today from this verse. And so we trust that the Lord will help us to better understand and practice the godly raising up of children. Praise God. My friends, our contact number is 0782-652-143. And if you might have a question or comment, please feel free to call us, 0782-652-143. Hear now the word of the Lord in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Amen. May the Lord add His blessings to His word. Dear friends, let us pray. Father in the highest heaven, once again we come to You asking for sufficient grace to help us now. And we pray, Lord, that You will bring us grace through the Word, through the teaching today. And it is my heart's cry that once again, You will help Your people, help listeners, Christians, to understand how it is that You would have children in the Lord raised up in godliness. And so, Lord, we pray that You will bless this teaching about child rearing today. We give You thanks for the precious Word of God that You speak to us of this matter. And we pray once again for blessing and grace, harmony and peace for Christian families and for all families. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. Yes, in His name we pray. Amen. And so, my friends, we've been looking at these verses, Ephesians 6, 1 through 4, about the responsibility and commandment to children in Christian families that they are to obey their parents in the Lord. This is to be done as to the Lord. And we have mentioned several times that God's requirement that children honor their father and their mother is affixed with a promise that it may be well with them, that they may live long on the earth. And we've also mentioned that in God's structure of the family, the husband, the father, is the head of the family. The wife is to be in submission to her husband. And as a mother, she is to exercise godly Christian authority over her children. And so it is that the children, because of the love and grace, because of God's blessing upon the family, are to obey their parents. Particularly, this is true of Christians, but the requirement that children obey their parents is for all people, for all children. All children under the authority of their father and mother are required by God to obey them. This is simply right. Praise God. And today, we want to talk more specifically about child rearing, basically child rearing principles. And as we begin, let me share these thoughts with you by J.R. Miller, a Christian minister. Some marriages are unhappy. How can husband and wife live happily in their wedded life? Wedded happiness is a lesson that must be learnt. No two lives brought into this close relation can blend into one without self-discipline. Marriage is the beautiful unfolding of many years. We are not married on any day, but all along for love, yet always opes, fuller and fuller with each day and hour, heartening the soul with odor of fresh hopes and longings high and gushings of wide power, yet never is or shall be fully blown, save in the forethought of the Eternal One. And so Miller encourages us here that Christian husbands and wives are to learn happiness in their marriage. And I read this because I really want to now make a further application, and that is that Christian families, husbands, wives, and children also must learn happiness in their home. Because of the love of Christ, which is living, they grow in the knowledge of the love of God and how to love each other and show due respect and honor to each other in marriage. And so, generally, the principle is true that a husband and wife grow in their love and understanding and therefore in their happiness in marriage. And so it is true also of the Christian family. That is, the husband and wife and children grow in happiness in their relationship, in their family. And so no family is exempt from troubles. No Christian family is exempt from sin. And there are painful consequences for sin that are experienced by husbands, fathers, and wives, mothers, and children in the family. But in the due course of time, because of the wonderful grace of God, these troubles, these sins, can be overcome, and therefore there is greater happiness to be found, a deeper happiness, because we grow in grace. We can also grow in enjoyment and in happiness in our families. And so if you are struggling a bit in your family today, perhaps in the raising of your children, let me encourage you that because of the marvelous grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, His wonderfully sufficient grace, there is great hope for you and your family that the struggle, the conflict, yes, even the sin and its painful consequences will be overcome, and you will enjoy a much deeper happiness in the future. Praise God. And so, my friends, having shared that, I want to now share child rearing and child training principles from a piece called What the Bible Says About Child Training by a Christian, Richard Fugate. And some years ago, my wife took a course written by this Christian minister, Richard Fugate, in our church many, many years ago in California before we came to Africa. And so this collection of teachings, really this little booklet about child rearing, has helped her. She used to be a Sunday school teacher. She used these principles in her Sunday school teaching. And of course, she has used these in her family in dealings with our children. And so we've also found these principles useful in dealing with our spiritual children here in Africa. These are very helpful, and so I hope that you might glean from these principles. Fugate begins by sharing God's promises to parents. And there is a blessing that God promises to parents found in Proverbs 10:1. A wise son makes a glad father. Proverbs 23, verses 24 and 25. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begets a wise child shall have joy of him. Your father and your mother shall be glad, and she that bore you shall rejoice. Praise God. Proverbs 31:28. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. And so there is a blessing to godly children. And the key in Christian child rearing is to raise up godly children, because godly children who live in righteousness then will, as God requires of them, bless and honor, respect and love their parents. But there is a difficulty also in the family at times, and God's word comments upon this in Proverbs 10:1b. A foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Proverbs 17:21. He that begets a fool does it to his sorrow, and the father of a fool has no joy. Proverbs 29:15b. A child left to himself brings his mother to shame. And so, as we've commented before, the parent-child relationship can be a source of abundant blessing and happiness, or it can be a source of sorrow and grief to the parents and to the children. And so, to find God's blessings in our families, we must remember that we suffer and experience unhappiness and sorrow, grief, in our relationships in life, especially in the family relationship, perhaps because of sin. And so the simple key to harmony and peace in our families, dear Christians, is that we turn from sin and that we raise up children, mothers and fathers, in the fear and admonition of the Lord, who will also turn from sin. And as our children turn from sin, then we find God's wonderful blessings in the family. God's word says that children are a gift of God. Psalms 127:3. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. And Job 33:4 says, the Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty has given me life. And so, dear parents, children are God's gift to you. And God's purpose for children is that they come to learn about him and come to trust in him through a trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, through true repentance, and come to be faithful worshipers of God. And this requires that they are trained up in the way they should go, so that when they are old, they will not depart from it. That is the right way, according to Proverbs 22:6. Praise God. Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 and 7 says, and these words which I command you this day shall be in thine heart, and you shall teach them diligently unto your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. And so God's will is that children hear the word of God, trust God, know his ways, obey him in holiness, praise God, and therefore are a real blessing to their parents and to each other. Romans 13:1 says parents are responsible to God. It says, let every soul be subject to the higher powers, for there is no power but of God, and the powers that be are ordained by God. And so parents are entrusted with the precious gift of their children, of raising them up in the truth. And parents are accountable to God, as we see here. They are under authority to God to follow his will, his word and commandment regarding the raising up of children. And they also exercise authority over their precious children to teach their children and to command their children in the way of righteousness. Praise God. Parents have been delegated this authority by God. They have the right to rule, the power to act, decide, command, and judge regarding their children. And the Bible is clear that children must obey and honor their parents. Praise God. Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God gives you. Children must be trained by their parents. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And the Bible is clear that children have a dual nature. Genesis 5:3. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness, after his image. Psalm 51:5. Behold, I was shaped in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Psalm 58:3. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies. And the point here that Hugate makes is that children are born with a sinful nature. If the child is saved, he becomes a partaker of the divine nature, though the sin in him continues. And so this is really a reference to saved children. And let us note at this point that saved children are enabled and much more likely to obey and honor, respect their parents. Nevertheless, our children who are not saved are yet required to obey us, even in the Christian family. I should say particularly in the Christian family. And so, dear parents, if your child is not saved, yet they must obey you and you must teach them in the way of righteousness. Continue to bring God's word to them. Constantly pray for their salvation and that they might be a blessing to you in this way. Again, training is the process by which one is being trained to show the results of the training. There's to be a result of training. And successful or right training will bring about the right result. That is, if we train our children rightly, then the supposed result, the hopeful, the expected result is that they will act rightly. Praise God. Now Fugate shares with us how not to train. And he mentions simply that we must teach, we must train them. We are not to ignore their faults, and we are not to set a bad example for them. And so we must teach them the right way. We must train them in the right way, not train them and teach them in a wrong way, as we mentioned before, by our example and by our words. And we must not ignore their faults. We must deal with their faults biblically, and we must at all times set them a good example. Again, no parent is perfect in this regard. Of course, the best of parents is far from perfect in this, but we must be true in this. And the amazing results, the hope we have for our children is that in God's wonderful mercy and grace, he will save our children and he will lead them to live in godliness. Praise God. And so four examples of incorrect training, according to Fugate, are repeating instructions, justifying instructions, bribing for obedience, and allowing excuses. Now, in his work, he goes a bit more in detail about this, but for our purposes, we just want to mention that children should be trained to follow our instructions immediately so that there is not this repeating of instructions. We should not justify our instructions. We should simply, with God's authority, give instruction to our children. And we must never bribe them for obedience. And we must not allow their excuses. Again, we show our children mercy. They will fail often. They will sin often. But we must train them by leading them to confess their sins, repent of their sins, and we must in this way help them to do right. Praise God. And so we see that younger children, according to Fugate, must be controlled in this training to lead them to obedience, but older children and youth must be much less controlled. They must be taught in obedience. And so very young children are in need of a lot of control by their parents, a constant training. But as the children grow to youth, we must teach them and enable them to understand honor and build in their hearts the ability to return honor to us as parents. Praise God. As the children grow and mature, our control over them must lessen, but their ability to control themselves must increase. Praise God. And so that's one of the wonderful goals of godly child rearing, that as our children age, they are more and more able to, from their hearts, do that which is right, without excessive control on the part of the parents. Praise God. And so Proverbs 29:15 says, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings his mother shame." Simply put, a note: to neglect proper child training is a great sin, and it results in disobedient children, therefore children who bring shame to their parents. And so the rod and reproof, that is the correction, showing that there is error and correcting the error as necessary with the rod or in spanking, leads to wisdom. We mentioned before that this is not to be excessive. This is to be done wisely, always lovingly, mercifully, with the intention of bringing the child to repentance and therefore into peace, to be helped and further helped in this training. And we see too in 1 Samuel 3:13, "For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile and he restrained them not." And so, again, there must be this training. To withhold training, proper training, is indeed sinful and brings about very harmful consequences, disobedience and shame. Nevertheless, conflict is inevitable. As the parents control their children, and we have a good definition from Fugate, that is, control is the power or force to control, regulate, or guide. A holding back, a restraint, a curb, a verification, as in an experiment by comparison with a standard. And so, simply put, in this aspect of training or controlling of young children particularly, there is keeping them back from that which is harmful, a keeping them in that which is helpful for them. Praise God. And so we must restrain them, keep them from that which is harmful. In this process, there will be conflict because the child will sin and fail and retaliate against the parents' teaching. That's what happens in sin. The child will sin, go against his parents' instructions, his parents' commandment. You see the conflict that inevitably happens in this. And so this conflict must be overcome, and this conflict must be ended and harmony brought back as the parents wisely teach the child what is right. If necessary, punish the child for their disobedience, lead the child to repentance, and lead them back into a situation of harmony. Praise God. And so he helps us to understand, too, how to end this conflict, which is inevitable when there is sin. And he says we should evaluate the conflict. We are not to fear the loss of our child's love when we confront them with their sin. And we must commit ourselves to work through the conflict and bring it to the rightful, peaceful conclusion. He has some thoughts about rebellion, and he defines rebellion as formally the act of opened or determined defiance of or resistance to any authority or controlling power. Now, again, in this definition of control, as Fugate is using it, we see that this is not a negative word. We sometimes hear the word controlling in a very negative light, in the idea that adults control other adults, or adults overly control their children, or overly control their youthful children. And that's true. That can become abusive and sinful, but in its simple definition here, it means that we must attend to our children. And we must direct them and train them. We must regulate, guide them. We must hold them back and restrain them from that which is sinful and harmful. We must curb them and teach them the right way. Hold them to the right standard that God requires of them. And so in our authority, we do this, parents, and the children will react sinfully at times with rebellion. Active rebellion, Fugate shares, is seen in their defiantly saying no to us. They might hit us. They might knowingly disobey us, throw a temper tantrum, or ignore our instructions. There's another type of rebellion that the children can communicate, and that is passively. They are consistently forgetful. They have an external obedience with a bad mental attitude. They obey only on their own terms, and they do what is required, but not how it should have been done. They are negligent, and they fail in how they do a task. And so both types of rebellion, active and passive rebellion, must be dealt with. And Fugate shares the principle of rebellion is that a child is in rebellion anytime he knowingly and willingly places his will above the stated will of his parents. This requires, at times, chastisement, which is defined as the inflicting of punishment or suffering upon with a view to amendment, simply to punish, to inflict punishment on, corporal punishment, if necessary, not excessive but appropriate spanking, for example. And so chastisement, Fugate remarks, is normal to humanity. Hebrews 12:7, for what son is he whom a father chastises not? Hebrews 12:8. But if you are without chastisement, of which all are partakers, then you are not sons, but are illegitimate. And so God chastises believers, his children, and so this chastisement aspect is normal to humanity, and it is required in the face of rebellion. Chastisement by the parents is an expression of their love. Praise God. Revelation 3:19, Jesus says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Proverbs 19:18, chasten your son while there is hope, and let not your soul spare him for his crying. And so parents lovingly chastise, correct your children as necessary. According to Fugate, the rod is the instrument of human authority. Proverbs 23:14, you shall beat him with a rod and shall deliver his soul from hell. In other words, spanking, and if necessary, with appropriate objects, not with inappropriate objects. Again, to be excessive in this, parents, is to commit sin, to harm your children. But this must be done wisely, prayerfully, lovingly, and we might add always with mercy, with restraint. Not in such a way that it's not effective. It must hurt them so that they learn, but not excessively hurt them. And so Fugate also helps us to understand that we must teach our children. We must inculcate, which means that there is an action of impressing upon the mind by forcible admonitions or frequent repetition, an emphatic or persistent teaching of something. In other words, in training, we must inculcate. And we'll talk more about this next time, God willing, because our time is going now. But I trust you have been helped by some of these principles today. Again, this is biblical teaching. These are principles, these are teaching techniques, if you will, that are based upon Scripture. Praise God. Friends, let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this time, and I pray that my friends may be helped. We thank you for the clarity of your word, that you give us instruction about this most needed area of our lives, needed in terms of instruction, how we need your help to know how to raise our children. And we pray, Father, that we will so well understand these things, these principles, that we will be good parents and we will raise up our children to know how and who will indeed honor and obey us. And we pray again for the salvation of our children. We pray again for their welfare. We ask again that husbands and wives, Christian husbands and wives, fathers and mothers, will be enabled to be good and godly parents and therefore help their children to know you. We pray for peaceful, happy families. And we ask this in the name of Jesus the Lord. Amen and amen. So, my friends, until next Lord's Day morning, may the Lord bless you.